You're very welcome on this third Sunday of Lent to St. Columba's Derry Volga. And whether you have been watching us for a little while now or this is your first Sunday, you're very welcome. I'm Sarah and I am going to be taking us through our service today. So as we come to worship this morning, let us just take a moment to still our hearts, to remind ourselves that wherever we are, whether we're on the sofa, whether we are still lying in bed, that God is with us, that he is right beside us. A sentence of scripture from 1 John chapter 5, verse 14. This is the confidence we have in approaching God, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And this morning we're going to be looking at Daniel chapter 9. And we're going to be looking at the plea that Daniel brings to God.
Good morning. Today we're going to be back on location. You'll notice behind me, Harmony Hill Primary School. We're here back at this location for a very specific reason. That tomorrow, some of our children will return back into school full time. Whilst others will remain at home. We want to pray into this today, pray into this pathway out of lockdown that has been set before us. So let's pray. Father God, thank you that you are present with us wherever it is that we are. In the midst of trial and trouble, we don't expect you always to calm the storm, but to use the storm around us to help us see your purpose and your will. Grant us today a greater sense of your sovereignty, of your power, and of your the fact that you are in control, Lord. And so into this pathway for recovery out of lockdown, we pray. We pray for our schools, for our principals, specifically here in Harmony Hill as we stand in these grounds for Mrs. Johnson, for the teaching staff and non-teaching staff, for the governors as they make decisions. We pray for the kids who will come back in P1 to P3 tomorrow. For many, that may bring a sense of joy and elation. For others, there will be anxiety or worry around that. And so we want to pray for your presence in the midst of that. Maybe there will be some in a family going back to school and some remaining at home. For the difficulties that will bring around childcare, around distance learning. Or we grant again a sense of your wisdom into that. Lord, for our teachers, who now, tomorrow, will begin to juggle distance learning and in-class learning for some. Even though they've been doing it to a certain extent, tomorrow ushers in a new day and a new dawn. And so we pray for your sovereignty. And again, for your presence within it. Not only for our primary schools, but for our post-primaries. For those who would have been sitting exams, whether that's AQE or GCSE or A-levels this year. For those who are at university or third level education. Lord, into the mix of uncertainty that all of that is bringing at the moment. Bring clarity, we pray. For those who know you and love you in government, we pray for clarity and for wisdom. And in discussions and meetings, they will see something that no one else sees, that can only be dropped in their head and their mind by your Spirit. Just think about this pathway to recovery. We pray for other sectors, for our businesses, for industry, who have been given a different pathway, but some have been given no dates as to when they can come back. For those who are key workers, whether that's in the NHS or in another business, thank you for their tenacity, for their continuing service to us in the midst of all that is going on. Lord, we thank you that we are continue and be able to walk in our streets, in our community. And as we do so, we call to mind those streets that we live on or walk on or take our daily routines on in this moment. And we pray for them. That your kingdom would come in this place. That your will would be done in this place. Lord, thank you that there appears to be a little chink of light appearing at the end of a very long tunnel. As we move towards the season of Easter through the season of Lent, we know that hope is yet to rise. Hope comes with the Easter message. So Lord, we pray that as your presence carriers, as the hope carriers into this community, we would do just that. Continuing to be your hands and your feet, your eyes and your ears, so in all that we do, think and say, we bring glory and honour to your name, for your praise and for your glory we pray, in Jesus' name, Amen. Amen.
A collect for the third Sunday of Lent. Merciful Lord, grant to your people grace to withstand the temptations of the world, the flesh, and the devil, and with pure hearts and minds to follow you, the only God, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. We've come to that time in our service where we look at the psalm appointed for today. And the psalm for this third Sunday of Lent is Psalm 19. And this is a psalm of creation. And we have a beautiful day outside. It's a little bit nippy in the air, but the sun is out. So as we say this prayer of creation, let's recall those images of creation. Perhaps this could be your prayer on your walk today. So we'll say this by alternate verse. The heavens declare the glory of God. The skies proclaim the work of his hands. Day after day they pour forth speech. Night after night they reveal knowledge. They have no speech. They use no words. No sound is heard from them. Yet their voice goes out into all the earth. Their words to the ends of the world. In the heavens God has pitched a tent for the sun. It is like a bridegroom coming out of his chamber, like a champion rejoicing to run his course. It rises at one end of the heavens and makes its circuit to the other. Nothing is deprived of its warmth. The law of the Lord is perfect, refreshing the soul. The statutes of the Lord are trustworthy, making wise the simple. The precepts of the Lord are right, giving joy to the heart. The commands of the Lord are radiant, giving light to the eyes. The fear of the Lord is pure, enduring forever. The decrees of the Lord are firm, and all of them are righteous. They are more precious than gold, than much pure gold. They are sweeter than honey from the honeycomb. By them your servant is warned. In keeping them there is great reward. But who can discern their own errors? Forgive my hidden faults. Keep your servant also from willful sins. May they not rule over me. Then I will be blameless, innocent of great transgression. May these words of my mouth and this meditation of my heart be pleasing in your sight, Lord, my rock and my redeemer. We're going to hear from Anne for our children's talk today.
Hi, everyone.
Anne, I'm hungry.
Oh.
Have you got something I could have for a snack?
And a snack? Well, I have a nice banana. Do you want it?
Oh, what is that down there? Chocolate bars! Yeah!
Can't believe he chose the chocolate. Not really. So, we all know that we need a balanced diet and exercise to keep our bodies healthy. We hear that quite often, but it's a lot easier said than done, as Mark is just showing us. So whether you're 4 or you're 40, it's definitely easier said than done. We are also told to have a healthy relationship with God. We should read our Bible and pray every day. Again, no matter what our age, this is easier said than done. We, me included, get easily distracted by other things, including the TV, and before you know it, the day is over. However, today's reading gives us some inspiration about how to read our Bible and to pray. From the story about Daniel and the lion's den, we hear Daniel prayed 3 times a day, and he was a righteous man according to Ezekiel. So today we hear Daniel was reading his Bible. He was reading the book of Jeremiah. And in reading the Bible, Daniel was driven to godly prayer. And Daniel gives us a beautiful example about what this godly prayer looked like. So I have some pictures to help me demonstrate the different steps of Daniel's prayer. The first thing that Daniel did was to praise and adore God. He addressed God for the wonderful God that he is. And he used words like great and awesome. And he described God's faithful love. There are lots of words in the Bible that can inspire us on how to praise God. Lots of different wonderful descriptions of God and his character. So the second stage of Daniel's prayer was to say sorry. Even though Daniel was a very righteous man and he prayed 3 times a day, even Daniel knew he had to say sorry to God. And he said sorry for his own sins and sorry for those sins of others. And he really meant it. Daniel was very genuine in saying sorry to God. He said, "We have sinned and done wrong." The third stage of Daniel's prayer was asking for something. So it wasn't until Daniel had praised God and said he was sorry, and that is when he then asked God for something. So to summarize, there were 3 steps to Daniel's prayer. He praised God, he said he was sorry, and then he asked for something. So next time you pray to God, take some time to read your Bible first and see how me-centered prayers can turn into a God-centered prayer.
Today's reading is taken from Daniel chapter 9, beginning at verse 4. I prayed to the Lord my God and confessed, Lord, the great and awesome God who keeps his covenant of love with those who love him and keep his commandments. We have sinned and done wrong. We have been wicked and have rebelled. We have turned away from your commands and laws. We have not listened to your servants, the prophets, who spoke in your name to our kings, our princes, and our ancestors, and to all the people of the land. Lord, you are righteous, but this day we are covered with shame, the people of Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem and all Israel, both near and far, in all the countries where you have scattered us because of our unfaithfulness to you. We and our kings, our princes and our ancestors are covered with shame, Lord, because we have sinned against you. The Lord our God is merciful and forgiving, even though we have rebelled against him. We have not obeyed the Lord our God or kept the laws he gave us through his servants, the prophets. All Israel has transgressed your law and turned away, refusing to obey you. Therefore, the curses and sworn judgments written in the law of Moses, the servant of God, have been poured out on us, because we have sinned against you. You have fulfilled the words spoken against us and against our rulers by bringing on us great disaster. Under the whole heaven, nothing has ever been done like what has been done to Jerusalem. Just as it is written in the law of Moses, all this disaster has come on us, yet we have not sought the favour of the Lord our God by turning from our sins and giving attention to your truth. The Lord did not hesitate to bring the disaster on us, for the Lord our God is righteous in everything he does, yet we have not obeyed him. Now, Lord our God, who brought your people out of Egypt with a mighty hand, and who made for yourself a name that endures to this day, we have sinned, we have done wrong. Lord, in keeping with all your righteous acts, turn away your anger and your wrath from Jerusalem, your city, your holy hill. Our sins and iniquities of our ancestors have made Jerusalem and all your people an object of scorn to all those around us. Now, our God, hear the prayers and petitions of your servant. For your sake, Lord, look with favour on your desolate sanctuary. Give ear, our God, and hear. Open your eyes and see the desolation of the city that bears your name. We do not make requests of you because we are righteous, but because of your great mercy. Lord, listen. Lord, forgive. Lord, hear and act. For your sake, my God, do not delay, because your city and your people bear your name.
Thank you to Anne and thank you to Laura for sharing our reading this morning. We're back today in the book of Daniel, and we are looking at Daniel chapter 9, and we're specifically looking at this powerful plea that Daniel makes. But before we begin, let us pray. Heavenly Father, first and foremost, we thank you for your word. We thank you that it is so freely available to us. Lord, as we listen this morning to what you have put onto my heart, Lord, we pray that you would open our eyes to see you, open our ears to hear you, open our minds to the reality of what this passage means for us today. So teach us, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm sure you're all very aware of the name Captain Sir Tom Moore. He's been in our news for the past year. He was a British Army officer. He was the Duke of Wellington's 8th Battalion in the Second World War. He had a really impressive military career. He had been promoted from lieutenant to captain. But not only that, in his private life, did you know that he raced motorcycles competitively? And he even appeared on Cilla Black's Blankety Blank in 1983. But above all, Captain Sir Tom Moore is described as influential, because during the COVID-19 pandemic, when it all first began, this time last year, he decided to raise money for the NHS by walking 125 metre lengths of his garden just before his 100th birthday. Now, I don't know about you, but I can barely go up the stairs without being out of breath. So for me, this is impressive. But he raised over £32 million for the NHS. He had a great influence on society. But is there a way that we can have a greater influence for a good outcome in these current times that we're in? Daniel says that there is a way. Daniel says that we can be life changers, that we can even be world changers. And it's through prayer, the kind of prayer that Daniel prayed some 2,250 years ago that changed his world. So what kind of prayer is that? Well, it's biblically inspired, it's humble, it's confessional, and there's intercession. But above all, it is heard by God, our Creator, the very one who listens to our prayers today. What we've heard this morning is a powerful plea from Daniel. Laura read for us from verse 4, but verse 1 gives us a little bit of context. We hear again from King Darius in the first year of King Darius. This is when this chapter is set. Now, we already know who King Darius is. We've heard from him in chapter 5 and again in chapter 6. But up till now, it has been a terrible year for the people. Kingdoms have been in conflict. A great kingdom, the kingdom of Babylon, had fallen. A new king and a new kingdom had come to power. Now, we know from previous chapters that Daniel previously has risked his life by praying 3 times a day. And because of his prayers, he was thrown into the lion's den. But the writer in this chapter implies that the desolation was fulfilling some kind of role. It had to take place. There was a purpose for it. There's a lot of numbers within this chapter as we go on beyond what Laura read for us. But I don't want you to be preoccupied by the numbers to miss the essential truth that these numbers declare. You see, there's resonance in Daniel's world and in our world today. Daniel's world was in the midst of turmoil. Kingdoms had fallen. They were wondering why God was making them go through this exile, where God was in the midst of it. And some of us may be wondering that today. So what did Daniel do? Daniel prayed. And this is where we begin our reading this morning, Daniel's prayer. There's a tale that is told about a small town that was dry, but then a local businessman came and decided to build a tavern. A group of local Christians were concerned about this and didn't like the plans, and so they decided to hold an all-night prayer meeting to ask God to intervene. It just so happened that shortly after, lightning struck the tavern and the place was burned to the ground. The owner of the bar attempted to sue the church, claiming that the prayers of the congregation were responsible. But in turn, the church hired a lawyer to argue in court that they were not responsible. The presiding judge, after his initial review of the case, stated that no matter how this case comes out, one thing is clear. The tavern owner believes in prayer and the Christians do not. We don't know how qualified Daniel was for this prayer. He wasn't a prophet. He wasn't a priest. But that's the beauty of prayer. You don't need this caller to pray. You don't need to have some flamboyant spirituality in order to pray. That is the beauty of prayer. No specific permission is required for you to intercess on behalf of others. So let's look at what Daniel's prayer was. Firstly, Daniel's prayer was biblically inspired. Daniel knew exactly what to pray in this chapter. And in chapter 6, we learn that he prays 3 times a day. It's a pattern for him. It's a way of life. And because of this way of life, he knows exactly what to say to God in this prayer. You see, Daniel knows that he can experience God through the biblical text. And the subject of chapter 9 as a whole is the future of the promised land. And we're not talking about Balamina here. But this chapter actually echoes Jeremiah. You see, Daniel has been reading the scrolls of Jeremiah. Jeremiah was 40 years older and he lived about 5,000 miles away from Daniel at this point. And Jeremiah, it is said, is the inspired word of God. And Daniel has got a hold of it. But let's remind ourselves that the Bible at that stage wasn't as widely available as it is today. In fact, the scrolls were probably kept in the temple and weren't meant to be taken out. But Daniel had got his hands on this scroll of Jeremiah and he was studying it intensely. You see, Daniel and other exiles had now been in exile for 67 years. He wondered if and when they might turn to their homeland, the promised land of Israel. What if Daniel is beginning to realise that there is purpose in this exile, that there is a reason for it? We're being told years of desolation were fulfilling some kind of role and that they had to take place. Well, you see, Daniel found the answer in Jeremiah. And if you have your Bible with you, please do turn to Jeremiah chapter 29 as we look at some of the similarities. Jeremiah chapter 29 verse 10 to 14 says this. This is what the Lord says. When 70 years are completed for Babylon, I will come to ye and fulfil my good promise, to bring you back to this place. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper ye and not to harm ye. Plans to give you hope and a future. Then you will call on me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. I will be found by you, declares the Lord, and bring you back from captivity. I will gather you from all the nations and places where I have banished you, declares the Lord, and will bring you back to the place from which I carried you into exile. Verse 11, we know exactly how Daniel prays. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. We see this verse on multiple Christian gifts. We see it on graduation cards. We see it on bookmarks for people preparing for exams. There's great debate in the Christian world as to whether we should use that verse for that purpose. But regardless, this verse meant much more to Daniel. It meant that there was promise and there was process. The promise was that Judah would return from exile, and the process for that was prayer. Verse 12 says, then you will call on me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. This indicates that the return was going to happen, that there was prayer, intense prayer, the kind of prayer that involved seeking God with all your heart. The return of Israel to the promised land was only 3 years away, but something was missing. Prayer. No one had been seeking God. So Daniel took on the responsibility of the whole nation, not just for himself. And we read in Daniel 9, verse 3, so I turned to the Lord God and pleaded with him in prayer and petition, in fasting and in sackcloth and ashes. Daniel prayed with every fibre of his being. And it wasn't the type of prayer that you say before you go to sleep at night and then you end up falling asleep halfway through. It was the gut-wrenching prayer from the heart. It was biblically inspired. Daniel was praying as a result of the word of God. Now we know that Daniel had this immediate supernatural answer to his prayer. God had already promised it. It was in his word. Prayer was which is in accord with God's word and God's will. So my challenge to you this morning is, how do you pray in response to the word of God? How do you pray in response to the word of God? Secondly, Daniel's prayer was humble. Now, I don't know about you, but I love food. And this week, I've been looking at a few facts that have inspired me, that have really taken me aback. So here are some of them that I'd like to share with you this morning. Do you know that pineapples can take 2 to 3 years to grow? Think of how many we have in our supermarkets, and they take 2 to 3 years to grow. The next one, this next fact is the one that really surprised me. Peppers have more vitamin C than oranges. Who knew? Lemons float and limes sink. Hawaiian pizza didn't actually come from Hawaii. It came from Canada. And Kit Kats, if you open them up and look inside, are actually filled. The filling inside of them is filled with broken Kit Kats. You see, Daniel knew the prayers and fasting of Moses. They had fasted without any food in order to experience God. And he knew these fasting prayers of Moses and Elijah and how God showed up on their behalf. And in my own experience, I don't know about you, but whenever I haven't had food, boy, do people know about it. I just get really, really hangry. And there's once or twice where I've kind of decided to fast and to pray upon the word of God. And I definitely don't do it enough. But God shows up in a dedicated fashion. Perhaps that's something we need to challenge ourselves with, me included, to fast more and to pray upon the word of God. You see, Daniel's prayer was humble. You want to see life-changing prayer and even world-changing things happen? Then tangibly humble yourself in devoted prayer, just as Daniel done here. Thirdly, Daniel's prayer was confessional. And we read that in the verses that Laura read for us. Before he confesses the sins of the nation over the centuries, he recalls the praises of God. For he thanks God for his righteousness and compassion in dealing with Israel. And he justifies God in all that he has done, even though Daniel has suffered because of it. But he confesses that Israel is right to blame for all that has come upon it. He says in verse 4, I prayed to the Lord and confessed. He confessed the sins of the nation. Israel had sinned time and time again. They just didn't get it. They kept repeating and repeating their sin. And Daniel here in verse 4 takes it upon himself to pray for the nations, to confess the sins of the nation. God had promised blessings for obedience and curses for disobedience. And this exile, the destruction and the desolation of the promised land were actually signs of God's faithfulness, signs that he was fulfilling his covenant with them. He did ultimately exactly what he said he was going to do if Israel persisted in this disobedience, which we know they did. Daniel confesses the sins of the people of Israel, and he prays on behalf of Israel. The problem is the sin of his people, and they have yet to confess their sins. And so as a representative for those people, and probably the most highly placed person in society at that time, Daniel takes on the sins of everyone. He represents them to God in prayer. He names them as humility, repentance, and confession. In verse 5, Daniel names each sin committed. Iniquity, they acted wickedly and they rebelled. He calls them out, the faithfulness, even though his people have failed, that God remains faithful. Even though we sin, God remains faithful. We know God answered Daniel's prayer, but why? Why did he answer it and not others? We can't expect to get answers to our prayers until we deal with the one thing that separates us from God, and that is sin. So if we want to pray life-changing prayers, the first order of business is to confess our own sins and the sins of our nation. Do you confess your sins to God regularly? Do you, as you pray, confess the sins of the nation? I know I haven't. And it's something that we all, me included, challenge ourselves with this morning. Lastly, Daniel's prayer was intercession. Having confessed and repented for the sin of his people Israel, he now asked God to lift his anger. Daniel appeals to God to act in accordance with deliverance. Daniel believes that his prayer will be heard by the God, and he will build both the temple and Jerusalem without further delay. He wants it to happen now, right that second. And we know that God answered Daniel's prayer without hesitation. In fact, if you read on, you'll see why Daniel is still in prayer. The angel Gabriel comes to Daniel and says that all will be restored. Last week, James preached about how God is sovereign and in control. Daniel prays this prayer, and Daniel experiences firsthand that God is faithful, that he is in control, that he done exactly as he said he would do if Israel kept sinning. But he was faithful to that covenant and faithful to what he said to in Jeremiah. Philip Yancey, who has written many Christian books, says this: the main purpose of prayer is not to make life easier, nor to gain magical powers, but to know God. Daniel knew God was loving. He knew that he was just, and he knew that he was the one that would answer prayers according to his will. And that is exactly why Daniel prayed this prayer. Daniel's prayer was indeed life-changing, even world-changing. It was what God needed to hear, and it was exactly what Israel needed. One man's godly prayer changed the whole world for better, all because Daniel got down on his knees and prayed in a way that pleased God, a way that made God act immediately to restore Israel to its land. Now, Daniel didn't pray because he was looking for some supernatural experience that he was wanting that, but rather he was wanting good for his people that were in exile. He knew what was God's will. He knew what was stopping the exile from coming to an end, and it was the people's sin. So what kind of prayer did Daniel pray? It was biblically inspired. It was humble. It was confessional, it was intercessional, but above all, it was heard on high. It was heard from God. The great theologian Karl Barth says this: to clasp the hands in prayer is the beginning of an uprising against the disorder of the world. To clasp the hands in prayer is the beginning of an uprising against the disorder of the world. So I want to ask you this morning, how is your prayer life? Honestly and truthfully, mine could be better. I don't know about you. But let's challenge ourselves this week, how is your prayer life? But more than that, who is going to clasp their hands with me and pray for the sins of our nation? Who is going to come with me and pray life-changing, world-changing prayers? Let's acknowledge God's faithfulness, God's goodness. Let's bring before him our sins and the sins of our nation. Let's take them on board for ourselves, and let's pray them and see life-changing, world-changing things happen within our world. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your faithfulness. We thank you for your promises that you hold true. And although our world changes daily, we thank you that you remain unchanged. We pray this morning that as we hear your word, as we participate in this service, Lord, that we don't just hear and recite words, but that they prompt us to action. That they prompt us to pray for the sins of our nation. Lord, we will bring them before you. Challenge us to have a healthy prayer life, that as Daniel done, to have a habit of prayer, that it wouldn't be the thing that we do last thing at night, but it would be throughout our whole day. Father, inspire us, encourage us, and challenge us this day. In Jesus' name, amen. Our confession this morning has been placed after our sermon for the particular reason that we have been learning this morning about Daniel confessing the sins, his sins, and also the sins of his nation. And as we go into our confession, let it not just be something that we recite, something that we do in our service every week. But let the words resonate with us. Let us be honest. Let us lay before God our sins and the sins of the world. So as we come into a time of confession, let us take a moment to be still and remind ourselves that we are not perfect, but we serve a perfect God. First John chapter 1, verses 8 to 9 say this: if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, God is faithful and just, and will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We say together, O God, O God, our loving Heavenly Father, we confess that we have sinned against you. We have broken your commandments. We have done selfish things, and we have not loved you as we should. For these and all our sins, forgive us, we pray, through our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. Amen. And may the Father of all mercies cleanse us from our sins and restore us in his image to the praise and glory of his name, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. As we come to a close, there are just a few announcements for us to take on board. All our existing ministries are still online. If you need any links for any of that, please do get in touch and we can point you in the right direction. Bishop George has been doing talks each Wednesday evening online. He's focusing on faith during tough times. So if you're available at 7 o'clock each Wednesday night during Lent, the Bishop will be giving a short talk of encouragement. It's usually only about 20 to 30 minutes long, and it's a great time just to reflect. DVK is back on again this Friday night at 6:30. And DVY, our youth ministry, they will be participating in a diocesan worship night on Zoom with other young people from across the diocese. You'll need to sign up for that. I sent a little email out during the week to parents, but if you haven't got anything, please do get in touch and I will give you all the relevant details. We've been talking a few weeks now about the revision of the register for vestry. If you would like to view the register, you can do that at request of the rector. You can ask James. And if you want to be added to the register, you will need to fill a form out. Those forms can be found on the resource section of our website, and they'll need to be sent to any of our church wardens by 7:30 tomorrow night, the 8th of March. You may have seen online, Easter is fast approaching. The eggs are already filling our supermarket shelves, and we are participating in a virtual Easter for Easter Sunday. So if you like being involved in any drama, if you'd like to help us out with our Easter story, please do get in touch. All the details for that are on our Facebook as well. Last week after the service, we trialled a little Zoom coffee and chat with some of our parishioners, and we're going to be doing that again next week. So after the service, there will be a live link that will be sent for Zoom, and we'll have 20 to 30 minutes in small groups just catching up with one another over a cup of tea and hopefully a nice piece of cake. Thank you very much for joining us this morning. If you have any issues with announcements, please do get in touch with us, and we hope that you have been blessed and will have a good week. We go into the world to walk in God's light, to rejoice in God's love, and to reflect God's glory. Amen.